The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. We have no sponsors for this month's program, but if you have any questions or would like to become a sponsor, please contact our office at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Okay, let's start off with the Reader's Digest today, and they have a classic. Sergeant First Class Carlos Santos Silva died the way he served, right beside his men. This is their story, those he left behind. And there's a picture of a young man, very good-looking young man, dark hair, tall, and a woman next to him who has reddish-brown hair that is, I guess it's his wife, Carlos Santos Silva's son, Cameron, and wife, Kristen, holding his photo, but I think it might be Carlos's wife. We usually wait many years, even decades, before we republish an R&D classic. But the perspective and power of this story, which originally appeared in the March 2011 issue, are so rare that we opted to share it again. While his men patrolled the farmland of southern Afghanistan, Sergeant First Class Carlos Santos Silva came home to his wife, Kristen, it is his wife, Santos Silva, who had bought a new blue sundress embroidered with pink flowers to greet him at the airport. They planned to celebrate their 12th wedding anniversary in Washington, D.C., during his 2 weeks of leave from the war zone. They would tour the Capitol and visit some of Carlos's men as they recovered from injuries at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. Instead, Kristen wore her new dress to Dover Air Force Base and watched six soldiers carry Carlos off a plane in an aluminum box draped in an American flag. "We're here together," she said the night before the funeral, and their anniversary, April 11th. "This just isn't how I thought it would be." Outside the funeral home in Arlington, Virginia, she gathered with friends and family and handed out balloons, 12 blue and 12 white, for each of their 12 years together. At the signal, others released theirs on our cue, but Kristen wouldn't let go. She gazed skyward, her lips trembled. After a long moment, she opened her hand and watched the balloon rise. "I love you, Carlos, forever and ever and ever," she said, then covered her face with her hands and shook with sobs. Cameron, their 11-year-old son, stood next to her and pressed his face to her hip. The next day, under a cloudless sky, she buried Carlos, 32, in Arlington National Cemetery. A horse-drawn caisson carried his casket down a road lined with tall shade trees to Section 60, where the headstone charts the history of the Afghanistan and Iraq wars. Sergeant First Class Raul Davila stepped to the casket. He and I had known Carlos for years, having both served two deployments with him in Iraq. Carlos had gone on to become a drill sergeant, training new soldiers, and then a platoon sergeant with the 82nd Airborne Division, leading 40 men to the Afghanabad River, a violent swath of southern Afghanistan. "I will forever be honored to call them my friend," said Sergeant Davila, his voice steady and solemn. "Rest easy, brother." I'm going to pause and editorialize a minute here. If I seem a little choked up with this occasionally, forgive me. I'm a combat veteran, and I've been there. Gunshots cracked the warm morning air. A bugler played taps, and its crisp movements practiced countless times. The barrel detail pulled the flag tight and folded into a neat triangle of stars on a field of blue. A general knelt before Kristen and handed her the flag. I looked at the crowd, at those who had known Carlos at so many points in his life. But what about those who weren't there? Those who've known him best over the past 7 months, those with him the day his truck had rolled over a massive bomb buried in a dirt road, snaking through farmers' fields. Carlos's men were still working in a lush, dangerous corridor of orchards and grape furrows outside of Kandahar. As it happened thousands of times during the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, when soldiers are killed and their bodies sent home, their friends stay behind to mourn and remember and fight. I wanted to meet those men. Then there's a picture of some of the men who served with Carlos, all nice-looking young men. Flying into Afghanistan, I peered out the windows at the vast stretches of brown interrupted by jagged mountains, scored by rivers, and dotted with villages. I would be staying with Carlos's platoon at Combat Outpost Tynes along the edge of the Afghanabad River, northwest of Kandahar. The post was named for another lost soldier, PFC Marcus Tynes, who was killed November 22, 2009. To get there, I rode in the last truck of a five-vehicle convoy. Looking through the windshield from the back seat, I watched a giant fountain of dirt shoot into the air 200 yards ahead. The concussion rattled my chest. "IED! IED! IED!" crackled out over the radio, the same call made when Carlos' truck was hit. an improvised explosive device planted in the same spot near the bridge had just exploded. But this time the insurgents were too hasty. The bomb went off too early and the target truck rolled on, its crew uninjured. At Combat Operation Tynes, a former school, Carlos's legacy was immediately apparent. When the platoon had moved into the compound in December 2009, soldiers slept in a few small classrooms or outside until Carlos coordinated a construction project. The platoon then extended the structure and built small rooms for each soldier. There's a picture of Carlos in his uniform in Afghanistan and a picture of the vehicle, which is just a piece of scrap, unfortunately. During the slow, hard work of building up rooms and outposts and broader defenses, Carlos had been beside his men, filling sandbags and lugging materials. "He was always hands-on with us," Staff Sergeant Edward Rosa, the platoon's senior squad leader, told me. "He was always out there with us working. He did everything with us. He was about the guys. He organized movie nights with a widescreen television powered by a gun truck's battery. At Christmas, after Christmas and the platoon's family support group sent stockings from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, Carlos played a Santa at the outpost. He made each man sit in his lap before he'd give them a stocking. Carlos was born in Germany to an Army family and bounced around bases as he grew up. He enlisted in 1996 and trained as a mechanic in an aviation unit at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, where he met Kristen, who was also in the Army. But he soon switched to infantry, where he excelled. "I served with him at Fort Drum, New York, for 3 years, and he impressed me as the most knowledgeable but laid-back soldier I knew. He could answer any question on tactics, weapon systems, or Army regulations, but he was also quick with wisecracks and constantly concerned about his men. The soldiers at Combat Operation Outpost Tynes told me the same. He played video games with them, gave professional guidance, and counseled them on problems at home. And he often made jokes when his men faced danger, to put them at ease and remind them that good could be found even during dark and fearful times. I had stories about how tight people get when they deploy, but I never knew it could be like this," says Specialist Clayton Doc Taylor, the platoon's medic. "I called him Dad. So did many of his men. Sergeant Madame LaChance had never had a male friend like Carlos. They planned a couple of trips to Las Vegas, and Carlos and Kristen had visited LaChance and his wife in New Hampshire. LaChance had even turned down a promotion to Staff Sergeant in February because it would have meant switching platoons and leaving Carlos. Each platoon is led by an officer, a first or second lieutenant. The platoon sergeant serves as his or her go-to person in administration and logistics. That means Carlos could have stayed behind at the outpost while his men patrolled, but he was always with them, as he was on the morning of March 22nd, in the front passenger seat with a hulking, mine-resistant truck driving down a dirt road alongside a vineyard, just about to cross that small bridge. 3 miles away, Staff Sergeant Eduardo Laredo heard the call crackle over the radio as he led a foot patrol through the farmland north of the outpost. "Our guys just hit an IED," he said. "Sound makes about 15 seconds to travel that far. So another moment passed before they heard the blast. Even at that distance, it rumbled through their chest. The bomb had been huge. The radio crackled again. One unresponsive. Laredo's patrol ran toward the sound of the explosion. They arrived just as the medevac helicopter lifted off in a wave of dust that blocked out the sun. A tan armored truck lay on its side, the bottom scorched and the rear tires blown away, next to a deep crater in the dirt road. Sergeant Dale Nolinger, out of breath, approached Sergeant Gregory Mayhead, who had been in the Forbes vehicle patrol. "He's gone," Mayer said. "Who's gone?" Krollinger asked. "Sergeant Santos." Krollinger stood in the road and cried. For a week afterward, Combat Outpost Tynes was quiet. "There was just silence for a while," Nolinger said. "There wasn't joking around like there was before. Soldiers talked to one another in quiet voices, or kept to themselves. Carlos's men fell adrift without him. They lost their rudder," Captain Jimmy Rizzuri, the commander with Carlos's company, said at the time. LaChance had planned to bring Carlos a McDonald's double cheeseburger from Kuwait on the way back from his 2 weeks of leave. Instead, while he sat in the Atlanta airport, his wife called with the news. Then there's a picture of Cameron and Kristen at their home about the time they were burying his father. On his first patrol after his friend's death, LaChance reached into a pouch on his body armor and pulled out a handful of Jolly Roger candy, the small piles speckled with green apple candies. His breath caught. He always carried Jolly Rogers on patrol, and Carlos took all the green ones every time. The chance stuffed the green candies back in his pouch. I wouldn't touch them, he told me. Several weeks before, LaChance, a self-trade tattooed artist, had given Carlos a tattoo. The word snaked around his right arm. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Beneath them, a date, 22 November 2009. When Private First Class Tynes and another soldier in Carlos' company, Sergeant James Nolan, had died. After Carlos' death, 10 platoon members asked LaChance for a similar tattoo. One now wears the quote on his thigh, another on his biceps, another on his ribs, all followed by 22 March 2010. CMS Carlos and CMS, Carlos's initials. On September 11, 2010, I grilled chicken wings with Doc Taylor under a gray sky at a park in Fort Bragg. Country music blared from the open doors of his white Chevy pickup. Taylor's wife inflated a plastic palm tree as Kristen Santos Silva opened a box of plastic Hawaiian Lays. She and Carlos had planned to throw a luau for the guys after deployment. She figured he would have wanted her to follow through. The pavilion filled up, and Catherine Rosuri stood in front of the memorial table stacked with photos of six men in the platoon who had died that year, starting with Carlos. 9 years ago today, you know what happened, he told the group. That's why we're still doing what we were doing today and why these guys behind me aren't with us. Later, Kristen sat with half a dozen soldiers and looked through pictures from the deployment, many of which she hadn't seen before. Carlos walking through villages, filling sandbags at Combat Operation Tynes, drinking tea with the Afghan police, handing out stockings for Christmas. Kristen laughed and reached toward the laptop computer screen as though to touch him. And then the pictures changed, from shots of a grinning Carlos to soldiers standing on a dirt road next to a truck flipped on its side, scorched by flame, two wheels blown off. The laughter stopped, and Daryl Nollinger and Edward Rose traded nervous glances with other soldiers. I need to see this, Kristen told them. She leaned closer to the screen and stared at the pictures. Is that the truck? I need to see where it happened. I need this. Kristen and the soldiers told stories about Carlos, and one by one his men sat for a few moments and wrote on the big frame picture she had brought by day's end. The border around the photo was crowded with messages to their fallen leader. I want you to know you changed my life, and I love you for that. The world will never be the same without you, but I will be the man I told you I would. I love you, Dad. We'll meet till we meet again, Doc Taylor. Dad, I can't even describe what it was like to work for you. I learned so much and matured because of you. You were the awesome to work for and truly a great friend. I love you and think about you every day and miss you, Sergeant Dale Nollinger. You were the quiet professional. Thank you so much for your guidance. You have no idea how much you are missed. Goodbye, brother, Sergeant Bryant Plannerly. I've never been closer to another man. You are a great friend. Until we meet again, you will be thought of every day, Sergeant Adam DeChance. That night, after Kristen had packed up the leftovers and pulled down the decorations, she and Cameron returned to their small brick house on Fort Bragg, crowded with pictures of her husband. Cameron retreated to his bedroom to play video games, as he had often done, with his father, and now did alone. Beside him on the bed lay the framed picture, adorned with the memories of the men his father's left behind. Where they are now? Carlos' legacy lives on with his platoon mates, his wife, and his son. The group tries to meet at least once a year to catch up and reminisce about Carlos, with a round of White Russians, his favorite drink, and a toast for Carlos. A year ago, Nollinger, who's the author, attended Cameron's high school graduation. The 19-year-old also completed the U.S. Naval Sea Cadet Corps program with the highest rank. He plans to become a hospital corpsman with the U.S. Navy in the future. It's awesome that my dad made such an impact on his friends that they keep supporting me, he says. There's only one president who became a six-star general, George Washington, received a patent, Abraham Lincoln, earned a Ph.D., Woodrow Wilson, won a Pulitzer Prize, John Kennedy, received an offer to play professional football, Gerald Ford. Well, after that rather serious article, how about a little humor? And there's a picture of a cat sitting on a chest of drawers, or a buffet, or something like that anyway, next to a wine glass. And you can see its thoughts. I wonder if this will bounce. Sticks his paw out, flashes it down. Obviously, it didn't bounce. He turns around and looks at another wine glass on his other side. Maybe that one will. If you've been around cats, you understand that completely. Jennifer's wedding day was fast approaching, and she was horrified to learn that her mother had bought the exact same dress for the wedding as her father's young new wife. Jennifer employed her stepmother to exchange hers, but she refused. So Jennifer's mother agreed to buy a different dress for the wedding. "Are you going to return the other dress?" Jennifer asked. "You really don't have another occasion where you could wear it." Her mother smiled. "Of course I do, dear. I'm wearing it to the rehearsal dinner the night before the wedding." Oh, that's beautiful. A park ranger is warning some hikers about bears. "Brown bears are usually harmless," he says. "They avoid contact with humans. So we suggest you attach small bells to your backpacks and give the bears time to get out of your way. However, grizzly bears are extremely dangerous. If you see any grizzly bear droppings, leave the area immediately." "How do we know whether they're grizzly bear droppings?" asked a hiker. "Easy," replies the ranger. "They're full of small bells." WebMD is updating its server because of a virus. Well, they think it was a virus, but it could also be malaria, kidney failure, heart murmur, gallstones, or possibly appendicitis. "I went to Bank of America to deposit a check, and they asked me for ID. I said, 'Are you telling me other people are trying to put money into my account, and you're telling them no?'" Now the health section. Making these easy tests part of your morning schedule will improve your nutrition, energy, and mood today. Rise and shine all day, and there's a picture of a very beautiful rooster with a big bright sun behind him making a loud crowing noise. 6 a.m. Stretch in bed. Try this even before you open your eyes. Lift one arm and begin by stretching each finger, then your hand, then your wrist, and then your right arm, then your whole arm. Move to the other arm, then stretch your toes, feet, ankles, and legs. Finally, end with neck and back stretch that propels you out of bed. You've just limbered up your muscles and joints and enhanced blood flow throughout your body, providing you a shot of oxygen in all your tissues. Take up the entire length of the bed when you stretch. According to Harvard University psychologist Amy Cuddy, this power pose mimics the position of a bold person, making you feel more confident all day long. Open the blinds. When natural light from the sunrise creeps into your bedroom, it signals your brain to slow its melatonin production and boost cortisol, both of which tell your body to wake up. A flight of sunshine isn't just an instant morning pick-me-up. A Northwestern University study found that people exposed to moderately bright light in the mornings have significantly lower body mass index than people who get the majority of their night expense later in the day. Take a breather. No matter when you do it, meditating has numerous benefits, such as fighting insomnia, reducing stress and anxiety, and increasing energy levels, boosting your immune system and providing mental clarity. Meditating in the morning helps you set a peaceful tone right off the bat, so you're less likely to get sidetracked. If you're a novice, an app such as OMG, I Can Meditate, that's OMG, I Can Meditate, can get you started. You'll find it on YouTube as well. OMG even has a wake-up function that transitions your alarm right into a meditation session. Look back with rose-colored glasses. Research from San Francisco State University shows that focusing on good memories makes us feel more content. To start each day off right, take 2 minutes to write down every detail you can remember about a meaningful event from the day before, suggests Michael Galen, a positive psychology expert with the author of Broadcasting Happiness. Yesterday's high points can be today's fuel for happiness, she says. This can also have an effect on your overall health. A study found that patients suffering from chronic pain who did this for 6 months were able to reduce their intake of pain meds. At 7 o'clock, exercise a bit on an empty stomach. Working out before you eat, researchers say, encourages your body to burn more fat for energy rather than relying on carbohydrates from food. In the Journal of Physiology study, participants who exercised after breakfast still gained weight, as did a control group who didn't exercise. But those who exercised on an empty stomach did not. Moreover, research from the University of Vermont shows that the mood-enhancing benefits of a 20-minute workout can last for 12 hours, a boost you want to enjoy all day long. Don't take a hot shower. Take a cold one. A growing body of research shows that enduring cold temperatures in the morning can lead to lower body fat, a stronger immune system, more energy, and even a higher overall tolerance to pain. And don't dress for success. Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg are famous for his dressed-down style of jeans and a gray T-shirt. Zuckerberg explained to The Independent that he prefers to save his mental energy for important decisions rather than stressing about what to wear. While you may be able to not be able to leave the house every day in jeans, you could simplify your wardrobe by color coordinating mix and match outfits. Wake your kids with a cuddle. Anyone who has ever raised children knows that few things are more stressful than waking up a slumbering child. Yet this is one of the few times a parent can catch a child still vulnerable. According to a 2016 University of Notre Dame study, children who get lots of affection or touch grow up to less anxious adults. An earlier study shows that adults who get lots of hugs are better able to fight off colds and have lower blood pressure. Turn on the music. Pick something energetic that you and others in the house enjoy and put it on while you get ready. If anyone plays an instrument and you have a little time, morning is the perfect time to practice, and it primes your brain for learning. One study from Johns Hopkins University found that both playing and listening to music helped improve academic performance in 16 different ways, including increasing focus and memory. And see 13 incredible ways music benefits you. For more ways music can improve your health. Must be a book or something. 8 a.m. Knock back a cold one. No, not a beer. Water. When you sleep, your body is deprived of water for 8 or so hours, which can add to a feeling of drained or fatigued upon waking. Drinking ice-cold water has been shown to provide a metabolism boost, as the body needs to warm the water at body temperature during digestion, says Aaron Polensky-Wade, RD, CDE, the author of 2-Day Diabetes Diet. Add lemon to it. Lemon in your water has myriad health benefits. Vitamin C, found in lemon and other citrus fruits, strengthens the immune system, protects against damaging free radicals, helps skin stay wrinkle-free, and may improve overall digestion. Plus, the acidity in lemon juice contributes to the acidic environment in the stomach, which serves as a chemical barrier to deter pathogens from gaining a foothold and causing illness, says Voxanne Bisakot, Sukhoi, MD, a preventive medicine specialist at the Cleveland Clinic's Wellness Institute. Find a sweet spot. Everyone should be on the lookout for excess sugar. But a University of Barcelona study found that a healthy men and women who drank a caffeinated beverage with sugar before breakfast had a longer attention span and a better verbal memory recall than those who started their morning with either caffeine or sugar by itself. Break your fast twice. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day, so why not have two? A study published in the Journal of Pediatric Obesity tracked the weight and breakfast eating patterns of 584 students over 2 years. They found that frequent breakfast skippers showed increased odds of becoming overweight or obese compared with those who ate two breakfasts, one at home and one at school. The sensible takeaway, if you eat more in the morning, you'll be less likely to snack at night, when it's harder to burn off all the calories. Those of you who are familiar with Frodo and the gang of things, they have several breakfasts in the morning. Don't forget the protein. Of course, what you eat also matters. Research presented in a 2013 Obesity Society meeting found that women who ate a breakfast with more than 30 grams of protein, twice as much as most Americans get at breakfast, consumed 175 fewer calories at lunch compared with those who ate breakfast with just 3 grams of protein. Eggs, plain Greek yogurt, and nuts are all quick, easy protein-rich way to start your day. Eat from the bottom up. It sounds strange, but if you want to lower your calorie intake, flip your buttered toast or salted potato rounds upside down. When you eat foods this way, Devlin Alexander, a chef and former host of Fit TV's Healthy Decadence, told Health, the flavor hits your tongue right away, and you taste more of it. Ultimately, that means you could cut out at least half the belly bloating salt or butter. 9 a.m. Savor some fun. Many people dread having to face a new day of work, school, or chores, says Steve Orma, Ph.D., a clinical psychologist and the author of Stop Worrying and Go to Sleep. But if the first thing you do is pleasant, you'll find it much easier to get going. This can be meditating, having a cup of coffee as you read your favorite blog, journaling, etc. Choose activities you enjoy that set you on a good path for the day, Orma says. Seek out good news. In a 2015 study, researchers asked one group of participants to watch just 3 minutes of a positive solution-focused news, such a video on a 70-year-old man who got his GED after failing the test dozens of times. These participants were 27% more likely to report a few hours later that their day had been happy than people who watched negative news in the morning. Study author Gielen also cited substantial evidence of negative moods that affect workplace performance. Viola, you've improved your state of mind, your health, and your productivity, all before the weekday has even begun. Now you're ready to conquer your to-do list for today and every day. These phrases may sound harmless, but sorry for the mass email. No, I'm not. I want something from you. Don't take this the wrong way, but I'm about to insult you. There's no other way to take it. I hate to break it to you. I'm totally okay with breaking it to you. In fact, I kind of like it. Please don't hate me. You should start text hating me during the sentence. Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you another question after this one? Quite frankly, I'm about to lie to you. I'm not ready to be in a relationship right now, at least not with you. Bro, I'm dumb. And with that, let's go ahead and switch over to the Consumer Reports. Last week, we discussed whether or not you should buy insurance for your phone, whether or not the screen is cracked or whatever. But let's go ahead and answer some of your questions. And for instance, what coverage will you need? This is a difficult question to answer because it really depends on you and your family. About half of Consumer Reports survey respondents said no one in their household had a damaged, lost, or stolen phone in the previous 2 years. If you think you're likely to be in that group, then you might think it's safe to skip a plan. But if you do have a smartphone mishap, then you'll pay out of pocket. If you have enough in an emergency fund to comfortably carry a $500 to $1,000 deductible on your homeowner's insurance, then you can likely also afford to pay for a damaged or replacement phone, says Robert Hunter, Director of Insurance for the nonprofit Consumer Federation of America and a former Commissioner of Insurance in Texas. If you have children age 12 or under, a plan that covers damage, loss, and theft might save you some headaches. In our survey, 81% of people with a smartphone and young children at home said at least one phone had been lost in the past 2 years. More than a quarter of that group said they'd had more than five phones lost, stolen, or damaged in the past 2 years. My goodness. To get an idea about how much, if anything, you'd save with insurance in your own situation, considering these potential scenarios. Say you have Total Mobile Protection, adds tech support for a smartphone for $13 a month, $10 for a basic phone, or you can pay $39 a month for three phones. Wait a second. I'm sorry, that turned the page wrong here. Hang on a second. Okay. Say you have T-Mobile's premium device protection with Apple Care Plus for your phone, iPhone 8. If over 2 years you need only one screen repair, the coverage could cost you about $170 more than you would pay if you have a phone repaired. However, if you need a screen repair, then lose your phone, then break the screen again in 2 years, the plan could save you up to $415 depending on when the accidents occur. If you need those same three repairs on your Galaxy S8 and you have an AT&T's mobile protection pack, you could save as much as $670 in 2 years over what you would spend without coverage. But if you need just a screen repair, the plan could cost you about $60 more than having no insurance at all. And of course, if you don't have any problems with your phone, you're out for the total cost of the coverage. In that case, a hard case cover for your phone would have been your best insurance. Are there alternatives? Yes, you have several. Buying your phone with a credit card that extends warranties is an option. Some American Express, MasterCard, and Visa's credit cards offer free extended warranties for products purchased with their cards. Discover recently eliminated this perk. These often add up to an extra year to the warranty that came with your phone. You'll probably have to provide proof of purchase, and there are some exclusions. Your card may also cover damage or theft for 90 days after purchase. Check your card's terms and conditions. Also, if you pay your phone bill with a credit card, your credit card company may offer some protection. Chase, Inc. Business Preferred, for example, covers its damages and theft. There are limitations, including a $100 deductible per claim and a maximum of three claims per a 12-month period, plus a maximum benefit of $600 per claim and $1,800 total in any 12-month period. Wells Fargo's cards includes cell phone protection if you use it to credit card to pay your monthly cell phone bill. If a cell phone is stolen or damaged and you've exhausted any other cell phone insurance plan that you hold, i.e. homeowners, renters, and automobile, you can request the original purchase price of your phone up to a maximum benefit of $600 per claim, subject to a $25 deductible. These cards don't cover lost phones, and there's a maximum of two claims up to $1,200 per 12-month period. Check your homeowner's policy. You may be able to cover your phone or pay a bit more to do so, which might run you about $25 for an average additional $1,000 in coverage. Ask your insurers whether your plan can cover cell phones. If so, ask whether any deductible applies and how it will affect your policy if you need to make a claim, or two or more, plus what kind of damage is covered. It may only include perils currently covered in your plan, like damage from fire or theft. Number 3, pay yourself the monthly insurance cost. Add the cost of a plan each year into an emergency fund. Then you can use that small cushion if you need to replace or repair your phone. Use local repair shops, number 4. Many familiar retailers like Best Buy, Select Stores, and Office Depot repair smartphones as well as national chains like uBreak iFix. Refer to the chart of average common repair costs on page 52, which we'll look at, to get an idea of what you might pay. Then compare prices from shops near you. Make sure anyone you use offers a warranty of the work in writing. Fix the phone yourself. If you're handy, you may be able to take care of some repairs. iFixit has free step-by-step repair manuals for many Apple and Android phones, plus lists of all the tools you'll need. Also see, will you crack up trying to replace a cracked screen yourself? And we're going to look at that in just a second. Will you crack up trying to replace a crooked screen yourself? A cracked screen is a common problem for a smartphone owner, and the replacement cost only adds to the pain. For $50 or less, you can do the job yourself. Hiring a professional can easily run more than $150, but the task isn't for the faint of heart. I'm no engineer, but I'm not afraid to wield a screwdriver either. To fix my iPhone 6, I bought a $50 kit from a company called iCracked. After watching a 30-minute demonstration video, I got to work. The phone opened up without much trouble. Step by step, I pretty easily transferred the front-facing camera, microphones, sensors, and the fingerprint-sensing home button from my old screen to the new one. I even managed to melt the home button adhesive with a hairdryer, as instructed, and not damage it, but my attempts to do all this were routinely thwarted by a familiar nemesis, stripped screws, many the size of a pinhead. With help from an actual engineer colleague, I got the screws out and replaced them using a 450 kit from Amazon, which stretched the repair time to several days. Once I closed the body, my phone worked, but there's a pesky shadow at the screen's upper left-hand corner that I can't get rid of. I recommend a trial run for an old phone. Me, I'm laying down my screwdriver, leaving this business to the pros. As a staff writer at CR, Bree Fowler covers smartphones, cybersecurity, and consumer privacy rights. Is a refurbished phone reliable? It's a very tempting proposition. After all, you can get a refurbished iPhone 7 rated very good across the board by our testers for $499. That's about $50 off the price of a new one. The trick is making sure the phone is genuinely refurbished, not just cleaned up, repackaged, and repriced. If you buy a certified pre-owned phone directly from Samsung, the company promises restoration to its original condition. That includes a detailed top-down inspection of every feature and function, according to the Samsung website. Refurbished models at Apple are also restored with the same replacement parts used in the company's new models. Before going with a retailer, especially a non-certified one, you should ask whether it has the same policy. Otherwise, it's easy to get stuck with a refurbished iPhone that has a cheap third-party battery or charger. Seller refurbished is similar to the Wild West, said Carlos Salgado, e-commerce manager at Sims Recycling Solutions. You have thousands of online sellers offering products they refurbish themselves. Consumers have no way to determine the quality of the replaced parts. You may also want to look into the seller's warranty plan. Samsung and Apple guarantee their pre-owned phones for a full year. At Best Buy and Amazon, the warranty is good for 90 days. Also, don't forget to ask about return policy. It might take you a little while to notice poor performance and defects, so it helps to have at least 1 month to decide whether you want to keep the phone. And guess what? Since we're in a new month, we're actually starting a new Consumer Reports as well. On the road again. Few memories are as vivid for me as the road trips my family took each summer when I was a kid. My brothers and I would pile into our old blue station wagon, roll down the windows, and clown around as we made our way down the Garden State Parkway to the Jersey Shore. Of course, the road trip experience was a lot different in those days. We still have my dad's old 8mm home movies to prove it. There was no air conditioning to keep us cool and no sunroof to let us view the sky, and many of the car safety features that protect our families today were nowhere to be found back then. Anyone who's been on a road trip knows that a few small decisions, from choosing a high-quality sunscreen to getting directions you can trust, can make the difference between adventures to remember and a long haul that's best forgotten. This month, we're helping you get both the big and small things right, from packing the healthiest snacks and best first aid kits to getting the most out of your gas tank, your smartphone, and your credit cards. While you're on the road, our packing trip and pre-trip car checkup will steer you clear of bumps along the way, and our latest expert recommendations on gear for possible trailside and everywhere in between will help ensure that your next voyage is memorable for all the right reasons. Building a better world together, preserving fuel economy standards. The fuel economy of cars and trucks have improved dramatically over the past decade, the impact of which is economic as well as environmental. Better mileage means the average new car buyer now saves hundreds of dollars a year in gas money. This development is the direct result of stronger fuel economy standards established in 2010 and 2012, with the goal of encouraging automakers to offer a variety of vehicles with improved mileage, including pickups, SUVs, and crossovers. As a result, many more consumers can find vehicles that both fit their needs and save money on gas. A recent Consumer Reports study showed that when fully phased in, the standards will save about $3,200 per car and $4,800 per truck over the life of a vehicle. But automakers have been pressuring regulators to put this trend in reverse, and now they've succeeded. The Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, and the National Highway Safety Administration, NHTSA, have announced plans to roll back the standards. How CR has your back? CR was one of several groups working with the government and industry to shape the current standards. We believe they deliver consumer benefits, and we're calling on policymakers to maintain them. According to a nationally representative survey conducted by CR in 2017, most Americans agree. 87% say automakers should keep improving fuel economy, and 73% say government should set higher standards, and this support was strong across the political spectrum. What can you do? Sign our petition encouraging regulators to maintain strong standards to 2015. You'll find it at cr.org/EPA0718. Tackling the pink tax. What's at stake? You may not have heard of it, but if you're a woman, you've almost certainly been affected by it. The so-called pink tax is a nickname for a phenomenon whereby women are charged more than men for virtually identical products and services, from razors and soaps to dry cleaning and haircuts. In many cases, the only difference between the male and the female versions is color. Skeptical? A 2015 report by the New York City Department of Consumer Affairs compared almost 800 products across five industries: kids' toys, kids' clothing, adult clothing, personal care products, and home health care products for seniors. It found that goods aimed at females cost more than similarly aimed items at males 42% of the time, and that women pay an average of 7% more than men for the same thing. With personal care products such as shampoo, the price gap was 13%. The tax can really add up. A 1994 study by the state of California estimated that the pink tax on services such as haircuts runs a woman an average of $1,350 a year, or about $2,280 in the 2018 dollars. How Consumer Reports has your back. CR has been highlighting this problem for years and strongly supports the recently reintroduced Pink Tax Repeal Act. Championed by Representative Jackie Speier, Democrat, California, the law would let the Federal Trade Commission enforce violations and enable state attorneys general to sue on behalf of overcharged consumers. What can you do? If you think this unfair practice of gender-based pricing should end, go to congress.gov to contact your congressional representative and urge them to support the Pink Tax Repeal Act. And when you're in the store, consider buying a male option of that costs less. Making sense of food labels. To make informed choices at the food we eat, we need labels to be simple, consistent, and accurate. Unfortunately, that's often not the case. Today's food labels are frequently confusing and sometimes misleading. Commonly used terms such as healthy and natural, for example, have no one official definition. And even the integrity of organic products, which have strict standards, is under threat. The Department of Agriculture recently declared carrageenan, a seaweed-derived thickening agent, to be an acceptable ingredient in foods marketed as organic, despite the National Organic Standards Board's 2016 vote to ban it. House ER has your back. We have endorsed the Food Labeling Modernization Act, which would create a simple and standardized way for companies to put nutrition information on the front of a packaged foods. This system would use intuitive symbols, such as stars or traffic lights, to highlight the overall health value of foods. The bill would also crack down on misleading marketing terms. We're also calling on the USDA to heed the recommendation of experts who carefully determine which ingredients should be permitted in organic food. What you can do, contact your lawmakers at congress.gov and ask them to support the Food Labeling Modernization Act and take action to protect organic food standards at cr.org/protectorganic. Your feedback. We received a torrent of responses to our May 2018 article, How to Play Less for Your Meds, about the rising cost of prescriptions and how to lower drug costs. To share your story or opinion, go to cr.org/meds0718. Your article criticized doctors for not talking enough about the cost of prescriptions with their patients. We cannot possibly know what a drug will cost with patient insurance until they reach the pharmacy. Let me offer a solution. Ask the pharmacist for the cost of the prescription before it is filled. If it is too expensive, call the prescribing doctor's office and explain that. Sometimes there is a cheaper alternative. Joseph Mulcahy, M.D., Anacort, Washington. As an endocrinologist, I have seen the toll unaffordable medication costs have taken on individuals with chronic disease. One option, which my patients have found extremely helpful, is the use of online pharmacies in Canada. There are several online Canadian pharmacies, all of which honor prescriptions from the licensed U.S. physicians, typically at 40% or less of the cost. Alfred Pullis, M.D., North Castle, New York. Editor's note, Consumers Union, the Advocacy Division of Consumer Reports, believes that Americans should be able to safely purchase medication approved by the Food and Drug Administration from other countries, including Canada. Currently, however, there is no FDA oversight of drugs sold abroad, and many foreign online pharmacies sell counterfeit or poorly made medications that could be ineffective or even dangerous. That's why CR supports the Affordable and Safe Prescription of Drug Importation Act, introduced in the House and Senate last year. It would allow Americans to safely and legally order many prescription medications from Canada. You can contact your lawmaker to voice your support for the bill. I was surprised that no mention was made of direct-to-consumer TV advertising by pharmaceutical companies as a major reason for high drug prices in this country. Considering how frequently these ads appear, the expense of the drug makers must be enormous and obviously passed on to the consumer, who places subtle pressure on the physician to prescribe the most expensive, newer drugs. Costs would be lower if the media were out of the loop and the physicians were the one initiating the use of the approved, often much cheaper drug, based on his or her knowledge. Chris Balcani, M.D., St. Cloud, Minnesota. I wish you'd mentioned the billions that could be saved if your drug or makers were to stop spending on television and print advertising. Few Americans realize that the U.S. is the only industrialized nation other than New Zealand that permits direct-to-consumer promotion of prescription drugs. I urge CU to back federal ban on prescription drug advertising to consumers. James Russo, Durham, North Carolina. Editor's note, direct-to-consumer advertising has been shown to drive up health costs directly when equally effective and lower-cost treatments are available. Consumers Union has long supported efforts to reform pharmaceutical advertising. My husband and I each have a Medicare Part 1 prescription coverage plans. Asking a health care provider for a less expensive medication has helped us to save money on two occasions. More important, this strategy not only makes providers and patients partners in their health care, but also makes them partners in the effort to control the spiraling cost of RX meds. Virginia Bowler in Chicago. Your article on drug costs neglected to mention one important money-saving practice. The Medicare Part D plan should be reanalyzed each year during the October to December enrollment period to make sure you're getting the best coverage at the best cost. Once drug use may change, or a plan that covers a given drug one year may drop it the next, resulting in substantial cost differences. This can be done easily on the Medicare website. Arlene Phil, Dix Hills, New York. Another useful idea to save money on medication is to check with the manufacturer to see if it has a copay assistance program. I was quoted a $5 copay that was reduced to $15 after I joined the program. Editor's note, manufacturer's copay assistant coupons can save consumers money, but usually exclude people on programs such as Medicaid and Medicare. Sometimes a high-deductible plan is actually a good solution. The Affordable Care Act requires a certain generic preventive medications to be provided free of charge. When my husband and I decided to switch to a high-deductible plan, the inclusion of certain generic drugs was a nice incentive. We received three preventive maintenance drugs at no charge. Editor's note, high-deductible health plans have relatively low premiums and can indeed be a good option, especially for those who take advantage of free preventive coverage and don't use a lot of medical services. Unfortunately, for a growing number of people, on HDHP is the only choice their employer offers of the only plan they can afford. If they're unable to pay the deductible, which can run into thousands of dollars, they may forego needed medical care. CR's comprehensive article on the cost of medications is excellent, but didn't acknowledge the elephants in the room. First, the primary responsibility of drug companies is to reward shareholders with higher earnings. Profits do not reduce the cost of medication. Drugs that are costly in this country are considerably cheaper almost everywhere else in the world. Second, Congress passed legislation that prohibits Medicare and other agencies, with the exceptions of Veterans Affairs and Department of Defense, from negotiating lower drug prices with drug companies. This ensures that drug prices will remain high. Finally, the pharmaceutical industry deploys an army of lobbyists and liberally dispenses money to politicians through political action committees, PACs, so-called continuing education junkets, and other means, virtually ensuring that the problem of high drug cost prices is not going to be resolved through congressional actions. It is unconscionable that citizens in one of the richest countries in the world are suffering and dying because they cannot afford the cost of health care and vital medications. Editor's note, we agree that the high cost of health care and medication must be addressed. As one step to lower the drug prices for all Americans, CU advocates are supporting state and federal legislation that would prohibit drug companies from price gouging, stop pharmacy benefit managers from co-charging consumers at pharmacy clawbacks, and end so-called gag clauses, contractual promises by PBMs that prohibit pharmacists from offering lower prices than your insurance company. Furniture dangers. Your article, A Hidden Hazard in Your Home, raises the awareness of preventable tragedy. As some parents commented in the story, they had no idea one should anchor furniture. It has not been a normal expectation that furniture could tip over in order for our society to secure furniture to the wall. It is first has to be made aware of the need to do that. Dresser drawers have been a problem since the first dressers were built. In Napa, which is an earthquake country, all wall items get fastened to the walls, not only dressers, but also curio cabinets and china cabinets. Our dresser fell on the foot of our bed in an earthquake. No one was injured, thank goodness. Children and adults have to be informed of the need to attach furniture securely to the wall. Gas grills at last. I read about gas grills to get fired up about, and need to say the real problem is rusted out grill parts. My CR top-rated stainless grill steel drip pan rusted out in 2 years and is now dripping hot, flammable grease on my propane tank lines and deck. Is this dangerous? And how come your new sturdiness criteria doesn't address that? Rusting can be as much of a problem with gas grills as flexing and bending of the metal frame. Our new sturdiness test is designed to assess the latter but not the former. Yes, hot grease spilling on the propane line and tank can cause a safety risk. Buy a replacement plan directly from the manufacturer or disposable aluminum drip pans from your local hardware store or home center. Also, keep your grill covered whenever it's not in use to reduce the likelihood of rust. Planet-friendly coffee. As your Ask Our Experts response to recyclable K-cups for Keurig coffee makers, you missed two brands already offering easily recycled cups. Fulton Streets has cups in number 6 plastic with a special tab that lets you remove the lid and coffee filter in one motion. San Francisco Bay Gourmet Coffee also offers plant-based pods that are fully compostable in industrial and commercial facilities. I'm surprised that you didn't mention Senso coffee pods, which are 100% compostable. My Senso is well over 20 years old and still brews a delicious cup of coffee. Ask our experts. Why does my fridge still feel warm at 37 degrees? According to the Department of Agriculture, bacterial growth of food accelerates at around 40 degrees Fahrenheit. So keeping your fridge set to 37 degrees and your freezer to zero is a good idea, said Jovan Pacellas, CR's refrigerator test engineer. If the temperature reading doesn't match what you're feeling, you want to first assess whether it's just the thermostat readout that has become inaccurate and not a cooling issue per se. To do that, buy a standalone fridge thermometer, about $5, to assess the temperature discrepancy. If you find the interior is warmer than the fridge's readout, turn the fridge's temperature down a few degrees and wait 24 hours to see whether the internal temp drops. If it moves down slightly, keep making incremental decreases until you hit the desired 37-degree mark. If the temp doesn't budge, try cleaning the compressor coils, because dirty coils can prevent efficient cooling, Pacella says. Check your user manual for the coil location and vacuum them with a soft bristle brush. If the fridge still doesn't get cold, you may need a repairman or a new fridge. The inability to cool can signal a defective or old fridge near the end of its life. Are the deals on used cars from rental car companies as good as they seem? As you expect, rental cars have lived a harsher life than other used cars. Miles are piled on at a much faster rate, and renters may have not always been the most considerate drivers. So it makes sense that rental car companies looking to unload their vehicles seek to sweeten the deal for used car shoppers with lower prices and promotions. For example, Enterprise Holdings, the largest rental car company in the U.S., gives shoppers 7 days to decide whether they're happy with a purchased car. CR strongly suggests using that time to have the car inspected by a certified mechanic for about $100. Enterprise and Hertz also offer no-haggle pricing and a limited powertrain warranty covering the engine and transmission that lasts 12 months or 12,000 miles, whichever comes first. But shoppers can and should get even more protection, says Mel Yu, CR's automotive analyst. Consider used models from automakers with the longest bumper-to-bumper powertrain warranties, such as those from Hyundai and Kia, he says. Buyers of a used Hyundai or Kia get the remaining balance of both warranties, capped at 5 years or 60,000 miles. When buying any used car, remember that your best choices should have solid CR reliability scores, a clean history report, and the safety features you want. I want to cut back on soda. Is fruit juice a healthy alternative? It's great that you're trying to cut back on soda, but fruit juice isn't the best substitute. While vitamins and minerals and antioxidants in fruit juice give it a nutritional edge over soda, it can have the same or more sugars and calories, says Maxine Siegel, RD, who heads CR's food testing lab. For example, a cup of grape juice has 36 grams of sugar compared with 27 grams of sugar in a cup of grape soda. The sugars are natural, but your body processes this in the same way as the added sugars in soda, Siegel explains. Compared with eating the fruit itself, the sugars in juice are digested and released into your bloodstream faster, causing blood glucose levels to spike. This triggers the body to pump out large amounts of insulin, which can prompt fat storage and increase the risk of type 2 diabetes. In whole fruit, the sugars are encased inside the plant cell, so your body has to work harder to break them down. The fiber that fruit contains further slows digestion, and Siegel says will still likely fill you up long before you can eat enough to consume the amount of sugars in a glass of juice. Another consideration, if you're cutting down on soda because of carbonation bothers you, the acidic juices from citrus fruits can also irritate your stomach. Your best bet is to trade soda for water, into which you add either some fruit slices or just a splash of fruit juice for flavor. CR Insights. Hear your TV better, and this is a problem I have. If you or your couchmate suffers from hearing loss, you may be getting the habit of cranking up your TV's volume to the max. Unfortunately, an increase in volume alone will not help, says Meredith Sharp, an AD Director of Audiology of Manhattan Audio in New York. But CR's TV experts have a strategy that might. Some TVs have simple audio settings that you can adjust, says Claudia Clarett, the overseas CR TV testing. Here are a few simple tweaks you can try. Click Settings in the TV's menu and look for an item labeled Audio or Sound. There you may find presets specifically designed to enhance dialogue. Try features such as Auto Volume. This setting flattens out the volume, which may make it easier to hear dialogue. switch to stereo. Some TVs try to create a surround sound effect with a more diffuse sound field, but stereo or normal setting could be better. You may also be able to boost the volume of the center channel speaker, which contains dialogue, then reduce the volume of the other speakers. Play with the equalizer. On many TVs, this setting, also shown as EQ, lets you adjust various frequencies. Try lowering the bass, then playing with the mid-range and higher frequency, where voices typically are, until sounds best to you. There may be EQ presets you can try, too. Turn on closed captions. When in doubt, enable reliable dialogue across the bottom of your screen. This works best for pre-recorded shows, though. Live programs are often less accurate. Here are wireless headphones or headset. Sennheiser R-Nice 95 for $400. Bluetooth-enabled TVs let you send sound straight to a pair of wireless headphones. Even inexpensive models may help hearing, but this Sennheiser has a speech mode that claims to enhance things. Add a soundbar speaker. Zivar AccuVoice, $180. Soundbars can offer deliver a richer sound experience than your TV alone can provide. This model from Zivo's AccuVoice line claims to be specifically designed to improve dialogue intelligibility. And consider a neck loop, also from Sennheiser at $280. Designed to work with hearing aids, neck loops such as this sensor model, TV sounds to receiver on a wearable neck lanyard, which then creates a signal picked up by the telecoils inside your hearing piece. And I actually have one of those, and they do work. How we test headlights. What happens on dark, moonless nights in our auto test center? Headlight testing, of course. Just one of the more than 50 tests that CR performs each car we buy. First, our headlight specialist, led by Jennifer Stockberger, check the alignment of a car's headlights using a computerized laser system and a windowless indoor lab. Then at night, the cars are positioned on our unlit outdoor track, which is set up in a series of black targets at specific intervals. This allows us to judge a car's low and high beam performance, evaluating intensity, width, and evenness of the light pattern. It also allows us to assess straight-ahead illumination, which determines how much time and distance a driver will have to see, react, and brake for an obstacle. Last, our readers take a test drive for a spin on our course to evaluate the headlight's range as the car moves over curves and dips, as well as any potential glare effects for oncoming drivers. Well, we've run out of time for today's broadcast of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. We would like to thank all of our past sponsors for their generous contributions to the Reading Service. If you have any comments or questions or would like to be a sponsor, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long until next time, and thanks for listening.